The next case for argument is 16-2324 Rembrandt Patent Innovations v. Apple. Okay, I think we're ready, Mr. Jakes, whenever you're ready.
Good morning. May it please the court. The first issue in this case is claim construction, and in particular, whether the claims here that use the word recovery, does that mean only automatic recovery without human intervention? The ordinary meaning of recovery is broad enough to cover both automatic and not automatic, and also broad enough to cover with human intervention. The district court did not find that the word recovery had a special meaning, that it somehow meant automatic, and the specification itself is broad enough to cover both. It describes a prior process as recovery. It doesn't say automatic. In fact, where the specification wants to say automatic, it uses it repeatedly as a modifier of the word recovery. So we start with the premise that recovery, the word itself, does not mean automatic recovery. So the court, the district court below, said the term recovery had to be qualified.
Well, isn't it a little different than that? Isn't it that there's not necessarily a plain and ordinary meaning that includes both automated and not automated, that we have the word recovery and we're supposed to, under Phillips and I think virtually all of our case law, read that term to understand it in the scope of the specification. And so we have to use the specification, and it overwhelmingly, I know you might dispute this, but at least the district court concluded that overwhelmingly everything in the specification points you towards automated recovery. Right? So that's sort of looking at it a different way, not starting with there's an absolute plain and ordinary meaning. Is there a disclaimer in the spec, clear and unmistakable disclaimer in the spec?
Well, Your Honor, I would start with the fact that there is a plain and ordinary meaning within the specification, that the word recovery is used both to describe automatic and non-automatic recoveries. Where it's differentiated, it uses the word automatic. It says,
doesn't that mean whenever they mean automatic recovery, they use automatic recovery? And when they're differentiating it from recovery that's non-automatic, they're using simply the word recovery?
Well, I think that certainly says that the word recovery is broad enough to cover both.
Yes, but the problem is whenever it's talking about your invention, it's always talking about automatic recovery. The few instances where they talk about recovery, it's talking about the prior art, which you're trying to improve upon.
Well, that's right. But we're looking at the word recovery to start with. And the word recovery by itself can cover either one. And so we go to the claims. The claims don't say automatic recovery. They say recovery. So we have to start from that point that there isn't the word automatic read into the word recovery.
We still have to read the specification and figure out what your invention is, though.
That's exactly right, Your Honor. And this invention has to do with security. It has to do
and reliability.
Exactly right, which is really not anything different than security. It's the same thing. It's providing a secure boot system that uses these layered integrity checks. And sometimes focusing on this word automatic, we lose sight of the rest of the invention, which was the more important part of it, that this has to do with security and these layered integrity checks, all of
but
which
I guess fine. Part of the security was the automation of the recovery process. We're all talking in a generic way about the overall patent, but right. The patent's thrust seems to be we're going to create security in the boot-up process and the recovery of boot-up components by having it all done seamlessly. Right, the user can just sit there, and then behind the screen, this is all just going to happen without using a disk drive to install or anything else. The user doesn't have to do anything. It avoids the cost and loss of time to do the recovery process, and also it improves security. That, so I guess when you talk about how the patent discusses forms of recovery that are not completely automated, those seem to be prior art examples in what I saw, or examples of recovery after your automatic recovery system fails for some reason. And so I'd like you to speak to that, because assume for the moment I look at the invention, the central invention, as automating the recovery process so it's totally seamless and blind to the user, and all other discussions of anything that might be regarded as recovery are either prior art or something that occurs after the claimed automatic recovery process fails.
Okay. First of all, I won't agree with you that the invention is limited to automatic recovery. There are other aspects to it, and you're talking about an objective of the system, and it is certainly something that is discussed in terms of the preferred embodiment, in fact, it, as the best way to do it. But it's not the invention per se, because even starting with the beginning in the abstract, it says the invention can be augmented with automatic recovery. It doesn't say must always do that, but we can't lose sight of the fact that this invention has to do with these layered integrity checks, and that's very important. Now, the automatic part of it that is described in the patent, it is there to enhance security. It's not solely without human intervention, though. Well, the point is to maintain that security. And how does it do that? Well, one of the ways it does that is by avoiding the user putting in a floppy disk, which could be compromised. It's not that the fact that a human has to do it, it's the fact that that disk could be compromised, and so you compromise the security. Now, the word automatic, the judge said...
But you'll agree that even though... So you recognize that there are things that aren't included in the present invention. For example, that instance with this human... But they still refer to that process as recovery. So doesn't that by itself undermine your position that the word... We should somehow construe the word recovery in the claim to be so broad as to cover everything?
Well, where the invention is being distinguished in terms of automatic recovery, the word automatic is used. And so we can't lose sight of the claim language and the fact that it does not use the word automatic.
Well, no, I'm talking to the point that, for instance, in column 3, right, line 46, why the recovery method is inferior to the present invention. That's the recovery method using human intervention on the floppy disk stuff. So clearly, there's a recognition that certain recovery methods are not contained within the definition, the plain and ordinary meaning, as used in the claim of recovery, right?
Well, Your Honor, I think that gets to a disclaimer. That would have to be a disclaimer, and this is not of the type read in the overall specification that we can say that's a clear and disavowal.
So are you saying that your claim, claim one, covers the disk embodiment of recovery?
Well, it doesn't require it doesn't require automatic, and it doesn't require without human intervention. It could...
So the disk drive... embodiment, the disk embodiment that one could argue is being denigrated there in the patent. In your view, is it is in fact covered by the claim?
Judge Chen, I don't believe it does, because the claim also does require a trusted repository, and I don't think the floppy disk embodiment would satisfy that.
Why is that?
A trusted repository. Well, that's what this. Invention, one of the other aspects was trying to get around, you have to have a trusted repository in order to do that recovery. And the floppy disk is something that the integrity could be compromised, and that's one of the reasons that was said to be inferior.
But why is it inferior? Why can't it be compromised? Isn't it because, and I think you explained this, is because people can carry it out and have to insert it or not, which implies that the fact that there's human involvement makes it inferior.
It's not just human involvement. It's the fact that it could be not secure. And so if you have a trusted repository, that's different than the disk embodiment. So I do think you have to read that one section, which is in column 3 about the present invention, in the context of the entire invention. But even if the word automatic is read into the claim, we did present a factual issue that summary judgment should not have been granted based on that. And you have to, again, understand the overall context of the invention. There are these layered integrity checks. It's this bootstrap process. And then in Apple's process, it's really a trivial difference. You plug it into the computer and click OK. That is within a jury's understanding.
But when there's an integrity failure, then it goes into an unusable state. And that, at that point, human intervention is required, right?
I'm talking about
Apple's products.
Yeah, I don't believe we would call that human intervention. Because
user intervention. How about user intervention?
No, user intervention either. If you look in the specification of column 10, where it describes a warm boot process, it says that happens without user intervention. And that requires the operator to click Control Alternate Delete. So saying absolutely no keystrokes.
I'm sorry, I'm trying to find what you say.
Yes, in column 10.
Yeah, is
what lines?
Column 10 over to the right, so in the first full paragraph there.
Right, and
it talks about this
entire process occurs without user intervention. Right.
Once the repair is completed, the system is restarted, warm boot to ensure that the system boots. This entire process occurs without user intervention.
Uh-huh.
And if you go back over to column 8, just three lines down, a warm boot requires pressing three keystrokes.
I'm sorry, where are you? Column 8?
Isn't that at the end of the recovery process?
It is at the end of the recovery process, but that paragraph in column 10...
So it's 10, recovered automatically. It's just that in order to somehow restart, you have to push Control-Alt-Delete.
That is correct, Judge Hughes, but that paragraph says this entire process occurs without human intervention. And that includes the warm boot part of it.
But the Apple product is completely different. They won't even start the process until you plug it into a computer or do something. It's yours... at least description, goes ahead and starts it, even if after it's completed, there's some human intervention.
That is true, but the claim term, the claim step is recovery. And the judge qualified it to say recovery requires automated.
I just don't understand why what you're pointing to helps you, because it still describes everything that happens in the recovery process as automated. It's just at the end of the recovery process, the user has to do something to restart the computer. But that's not the recovery process.
Understood, Your Honor. My point was the specification describes that as without human intervention.
No, I'm not understanding what you're saying about that paragraph. They're talking about the recovery process is entered to repair any integrity failure.
Yes.
So the recovery process is defined as the process of repairing. And then it says to ensure the system boots. The entire process, meaning the recovery process, occurs without user intervention.
Well, the immediately preceding sentence talks about the warm boot. That's a part of the entire process as well. And that paragraph says this entire process, referring to everything that happened before that.
Well, it says once the repair is completed. So the recovery process is entered to repair the integrity.
That's right.
So that's the process we're talking about.
And yes, and it says the system is restarted to ensure that the system boots. This entire process occurs without user intervention.
Okay.
Where in this entire conversation is this part of the recovery process?
It's the end of the recovery process, and the point is that it includes a warm boot process as something that doesn't require human intervention, which requires keystrokes. That's why I was saying I don't think human intervention can be interpreted as the user doing nothing. And so we have a factual question here as to when does recovery start in Apple's process? We have testimony from one of the witnesses that it says recovery starts when the user clicks OK. From that point on, it's automatic. And automatic is an ordinary word that the jury could understand. So even if the term recovery has to be qualified with automatic, that it has to be read into it, a jury could still find that Apple's process is automatic. We also raised the doctrine of equivalence. There was no contrary evidence that was presented, and that is also a factual question. We have an expert testimony on that as well. Is what Apple does no more than an insubstantial change, requiring the device to be plugged in and to click OK? Is that sufficiently automatic to meet the claim language?
Okay, thank you. We'll restore Randall. 3 minutes.
May it please the court. The district court wrote, this is a recovery process that begins, proceeds, and finishes without user intervention. And I think if you start looking at the patent, the specific words that are used with this patent, that is clearly correct. It may help, if Your Honor don't mind, to go through some of those key phrases. On the first page...
I guess, could we just go to one of the last points, or the very last point Mr. Jakes was making, which is that at least at the top of column 10, we have one understanding of what it means to be a process that occurs without user intervention. And that notion of without user intervention actually includes a warm boot restart, which is, you know, I assume like a user pressing control alt delete all at the same time. So if the patent theoretically were to define without user intervention that phrase in such a way that actually calls for a user to do something, however insignificant that may be, that's nevertheless some level of human involvement that perhaps makes us now, channels us to think about that phrase without user intervention in a way a little more broadly than the district court did. And could you comment on that?
Yes, so Your Honor, the problem with that is the assumption. So warm boot can mean control alt delete, but it really just means the computer restarting itself. So when you update your computer or your phone and it restarts itself without you doing anything, that's also a warm boot. It just means the system is already functioning. So in this instance, we're talking about a warm boot in the context you were describing earlier in column 10, it's because they want a secure and reliable system, and so people aren't out delayed from work. There's no human risk. It just gets going.
Is there something in column 8 that explains what the patent means when it talks about a warm boot?
No. But if you...
it doesn't say warm boot there?
It does say warm boot, Your Honor. Column 8, line 3, I believe it is. But this is just the system getting going. It's not after it's found a problem, it needs to recover. So the first part of this is let's get going. Column 10 is about, oh, we got a problem. We need to fix it. We need to recover. So the system won't have a break in time. There won't be the risk of user involvement. We're going to warm boot it, but not in the way you were asking about, just in the way of getting going again.
What if I understood the parenthetical of warm boot in column 10 to be referencing the example of a warm boot in column 8 of control alt delete? Then what do you think does that mean to the meaning of the following sentence,
right,
without user intervention?
Right. I mean, that's what confirms the alternative definition I was getting, because when you say the entire process occurs without user intervention, the prior sentence, the warm boot referred there, is without user intervention. It's just happening, as with the automatic updates we were discussing.
But let me make it clear. When I see control alt delete, I think in my mind of a picture of a user using three fingers to press down on those three buttons to boot up,
right,
the system. And so therefore, that's a human I'm talking about intervening in some minuscule way perhaps, but that's a human intervening. So what does that now do to the following sentence, which talks about this process is without user intervention? Doesn't it somehow broaden out perhaps the default understanding of without user intervention to perhaps be something
that includes a user,
that includes,
right,
hitting control alt delete?
Right. So I see where Your Honor is going. I don't think that accurately describes what a warm boot is. But even so, the use of user there would be nothing like the use of a user in Apple's devices. So I don't think it would help the other side. So the Apple user determines both the when a restart would happen, as we've discussed earlier. The device just goes unusable, becomes bricked. That is something that wouldn't happen automatically, no matter what user level involvement means. The device just sits there until the user decides, okay, now I want to get it fixed. The Apple user decides how to get it fixed. Are they going to take it to a store? Are they going to have to find a computer to connect it to? They have to get it working up with iTunes. They have to get it working on the wireless.
Hypothetically, I don't know, on the imaginary keyboard on an iPhone, a user, once the phone is bricked, presses down on the buttons for Control-Alt-Delete. Would that fall within the claim language? Because now we're understanding without user intervention to encompass a warm boot?
So, I mean, this is a case where you can get hypotheticals and make automatic become, but that's not, it's really not this case, Your Honor. I mean, we're talking about...
Right, I'm just trying to understand this hypothetical, though.
Okay, so...
If I were to think of the word warm boot as a user hitting Control-Alt-Delete,
right,
then does that force me to think of the phrase without user intervention to encompass something as minor as hit pressing Control-Alt-Delete? And then if so, then if the iPhone were, once it's bricked, the user hits Control-Alt-Delete, that would meet the claim limitation of recovery.
So, I mean, another way to look at it, Your Honor, is a discussion we were having about prior art earlier. I mean, if you look at this, the purpose of this design is to get the user out of it. I mean, the delay itself is something that this patent is trying to stop. I mean, it's focused on the security community. It doesn't want a delay in these systems. So if the user has to start it by Control-Alt-Delete, the system could be down for quite a while, and that does go against the tenor of this patent. So Judge Burroughs, you started the argument, I think, focusing on the words that matter so much in a claim or the context. And this patent uses present invention in a really striking way. There is the present invention in the abstract, but this is, I think, unbelievable. If you go to the field of the invention, which is Appendix 62. So this is the field of the invention. It says, this invention relates to an architecture of initializing a computer system, and more particularly to a secure bootstrap process, automated recovery procedure. So the whole field is about automated recovery procedure. You go to column 3 that we were talking about before, which discusses the prior art. 57 to 59 talks about the present invention providing automatic recovery. When you go to the summary of the invention, column 4, 4, 6, it's the same thing, present invention. So at the hearing, the district court said this patent is soaked in automatic recovery.
What about doctrine of equivalence? Vitiation, you know, sometimes that concept gets thrown around a little too casually. And why would it be vitiation here to have to when there can be something that's really almost completely automated but not totally automated? And why wouldn't that be an insubstantial difference from a claim for automatic recovery?
Thank you, Your Honor. And as the briefing made clear, there are really two Supreme Court decisions that provide guidance here, and that both of them are relevant still. One is Warner Jenkins, the other is Graber Tank. And Graber Tank has the phrase "mercy of verbalism," and I think the reason for the equivalent doctrine is to not get people get advantage from language that obviously language can be hard to contain. And so the mercy of verbalism is, I think, what Graber Tank is talking about. But more technically, it asks whether there's a substantial difference, which is a more practical way of putting what I was just saying. And here, as we were just describing, there are some key differences between the way the Apple devices work and the way this patent sets it up. There's the user, which this patent is almost afraid of, because the user may allow corruption, while the Apple system, trusts its users to decide things like, when is the right time, how should it be done. And the vitiation way to look at it is automatic and humans are in many ways opposites. And so if the claim construction argument is about whether automatic is required, you can't then go into the equivalence context and basically have the same argument and reach a different result. And there are several cases from this court that make that point. Yes, the parties disagreed. It was argued about in the claim construction context. We can't have the same argument and come out any differently in the equivalent context.
What do you think is the best case for that?
It actually happened in Honeywell, which is obviously very on point, because there's a lot of present invention language in that. It's four times in Honeywell. I was, started on the present inventions in this case. Augment also makes the same point. Is there any
nothing further. Thank you.
Thank you.
If I may address the vitiation question, doctrine of equivalence here first is a factual question, and the question of whether what Apple does is an insubstantial difference is a factual question. There's no contesting that. So the only question is vitiation. And vitiation occurs where an element is missing. Something is completely missing. We don't have that here. Apple has a recovery step. But the question is the recovery step equivalent to what is claimed? And can something that is that requires a trivial intervention by the user amount to the same thing as automatic?
I guess the question is, and I think that Honeywell case is, once the court has arrived at concluding that there is some kind of implicit disclaimer in the claim, and so therefore construes the claim in a certain way, can you really take that implicit disclaimer out through doctrine of equivalence? And I think the Honeywell case and the facts of that case basically said, no, you can't. Once you've made it clear that, you know, something is central to the invention and therefore the claim must mean X, you can't exclude X from the claim to capture things through doctrine of equivalence. And so there's an analogous situation here, or at least arguably, in which we now know if the district court's right on claim construction, that recovery is automatic recovery and not something close but not quite total automatic recovery. So under Honeywell, why wouldn't it be a vitiation outcome once you try to break open into the meaning of automatic recovery to mean almost but not quite automatic recovery?
Your Honor, I think in that case there would have to be a clear and unmistakable disavowal of claim scope, an effective disclaimer. And that's not really what Apple's arguing. They've argued that this is not a disclaimer case. This is just a normal claim interpretation case. And so we don't reach that point where you have that sort of disavowal.
But do you agree that if we were to conclude that there's disclaimer here, then that essentially defeats your doctrine of equivalence argument?
If there is a clear and unmistakable disavowal of claim scope, I don't believe we can recapture that through the doctrine of equivalence. I agree.
Right.
But we do have the word automatic, and that has an ordinary meaning, and I think that's something that a jury could apply as well to find infringement. And so even if the word automatic is read into the claim, the examples that were, I think, discussed in the brief, there's such things as automatic transmissions, ATMs that do require the user to push a button. A jury could find that the word automatic covers what is done here.
Yeah, but wouldn't the claim construction, and that's a claim construction issue. I mean, automatic would be defined, is defined in the claim construction as without human intervention.
Well, Your Honor, I think those are actually two different things. I think that's one of the problems with what the court did. There's the term automatic, which means something, and then there's without human intervention, which means something in addition to that. And certainly the without human intervention part of it, if you look at column 3, where it talks about automatic, it's not disavowing all intervention. And that goes back to my argument on column 10 and column 8, that where it says without user intervention, that doesn't mean that the user can't push three keys.
Okay. Thank you. Thank both sides. The case is submitted.